Austin, I'm a huge fan and love your work.
Hey, buddy, welcome to Austin's Friday.
There we go.
This is one of the problems with clips. Guys, I guess we're standing in front of this mic right now.
So I guess that's what we're doing.
This is a podcast where we sit around, drink Donald Douglas, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
That's right. Dan, is there a hook to this fucking show?
There is. We need to get this. Oh, there we go. All right. The hook is that I know a lot about Alex Jones.
And I don't know a goddamn thing about Alex Jones. Who here is a policy wonk? Who here has no idea what this fucking show is going to be?
They heard Alex Jones.
Come on.
You have to assume.
You can clap if you don't know what's going to happen. Just that? All right.
I would posit that I don't know what's going to happen.
No, I'm pretty sure we're pretty much lost on this one.
Generally, to give you guys a little bit of sense, in case you haven't watched any of our shows that we do on video, we record this podcast in my bedroom. I have a desk in there.
Yep.
And it's where I smoke cigarettes maniacally and drink Monster energy drinks and research weird shit about right-wing propaganda. Jordan is nice enough to come over every now and again, and I sit in front of my computer and play clips for him.
It's exactly as weird as you think it is.
But tonight we're doing it a little bit differently here at the Playground Theater. Big round of applause for David up in the booth. He will be playing clips for us as we go along. It's going to be an interesting thing.
He will be the source of many tech issues as opposed to the two of us, so it's good.
And we forgive it in advance and appreciate his help.
Absolutely.
And also, I'm terrified right now. Because I...
No, I'm going to let that sit. I'm going to let that sit wide open.
I'm so worried about how you are going to take some of the information you're about to learn.
Great. It's a good thing I'm allowed to walk on this show. I don't have to wear headphones. I can scream it over there. It's so fucking far.
If I walked you can leave. You can just close it out.
Guys, just so long as we don't do any more Joe Arpaio shit, I'll live.
Bad news!
No!
Joe Arpaio is in the mix.
God damn it, Dan!
But we're not going to be talking about
that. Okay.
So today, Jordan, you have no idea what we're going to be covering.
No fucking clue.
It's been incredibly difficult not to tell you. For the last week, since we found out that we were going to be doing this show live, I have been trying to find an episode that would work. That would be really fun, that we could all have a good time with.
Right.
I went back to every April 1st, every April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
I listened to every Alex Jones birthday show. Maybe he wrote on his birthday.
Entirely hungover.
Yeah. Or super esoteric. Like,
yeah, every time he ages another year, he's like, man, I don't know if the universe is real.
He turned 40 a couple years ago, and I thought, like, this is going to be a depth of weirdness. But he just had Dr. Groupon, and they talked about it. It was weird. For those of you who don't know, Dr. Group is Alex Jones' chiropractor friend who he pretends is a doctor. So Jordan, today what we're going to be going over is March 1st and 2nd of 2012.
St. Patrick's Day.
Nope. Do you know what happened March 1st of 2012?
Of course I don't.
Does anybody have any idea?
Oh, shit, we get to do fucking crowd work during the podcast, so that's good shit.
That's terrible crowd
work. Okay, yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, three months off, we could forget.
3 months off! It's like 3:11, but one higher.
No, I'm out.
I'm also out. Well, let's find out what happened on March 1st. If you play clip number one.
It is in Julius Caesar's life that we gained the term "Beware the Ides of March," and it was William Shakespeare who first inculcated that into his famous play Julius Caesar. Beware the Ides of March. Andrew Breitbart is dead.
Yes!
He was very close to writing down the Obama administration with Acorn. The energy companies and the rest of it, and was effectively endangering a second term. Mm. He announced, of course,
that he was going to die
in February, just last month, that he would soon release footage of Obama in college, damning footage, and that he would vet him and expose him as a confirmed Marxist in college.
That's what happened.
That's what happened. Breitbart died.
Andrew Breitbart.
This is the episode where Breitbart dies.
Yeah. Okay. What do you know about Andrew Breitbart and his passing?
Well, he's a hero.
Sure.
What?
Sure.
Okay.
In hindsight, kind of. I mean, he's a shithead, but...
You're going to need to explain that a lot better.
Well, I think he was always super anti-Trump, and if he hadn't have died, there's no chance that Breitbart would have been in favor of Trump running for president. Like, there's a weird thing that happened after he died, that Breitbart became, like, a very different website than it was before. I mean, it was terrible before, don't get me wrong. I'm not in favor of it, but it was not the same thing. That it was.
I don't know anything about Breitbart. Oh, I've never.
I'm dangerously close to calling them reasonable.
Why would I go to Breitbart? Like pre or post Bannon?
I don't know.
It's from Steve Bannon that we get the phrase "Beware the Ides of March." Mm-hmm. That's true. That's a fact.
So in that clip, you heard Alex Jones is very clearly trying to put some of the blame for Breitbart's death on Barack Obama.
Yes, Barack killed him.
That's definitely the implication that he's trying to make. You really don't know anything about Breitbart's death?
No.
Get this, I know everything about death. I straight up read a 23-page
autopsy. An autopsy?
Yeah.
You could have just read the note that said, "Call Larry Nichols."
So, on February 29th, Andrew Breitbart went out for dinner.
Yeah.
February 29th, by the way, leap year. Interesting. Not that interesting.
Not that. By the way, in case anybody's wondering, there's no hard end of this podcast. This could go for 3 hours. You don't want to be here at 1.5, good on you.
So, on February 29th, Andrew Breitbart went out for dinner. He had some wine in a restaurant called The Breadwood, right?
Of course.
He was hanging out there, gets into some conversations with some people there. And about 11:30 or so in the evening, he decides to leave. And on his walk home, he falls over and dies on a sidewalk.
Natural.
There was a witness, and the witness said that he was walking alone, and there was nothing weird about it. Someone else called paramedics. They came. They showed up.
So Seth Rich killed him.
Oh, totally. Okay. Yeah. That's an Ouroboros. Democrat murderer.
Right.
So the witness who saw him collapse said that his face was, like, really bright red.
No.
Which has led a bunch of people to suspect that it was arsenic poisoning.
Okay.
All right. We'll get back to that one.
We're going to get back
to the results of the autopsy of that red.
It was polonium poisoning!
So the paramedics show up and they take him to Ronald Reagan Hospital. Ironic. But it didn't help at all, and Andrew Breitbart was pronounced dead at 12:19 a.m. the next morning.
Okay.
A lot of conspiracy theories have gone around about it, saying that it was murder. Alex Jones' version is the dirt worst, because he involves ray guns and what have you.
Ray guns!
I believe we'll get into it somehow.
Breitbart is killed by ray guns!
Yeah, okay. It's possible.
Or he's killed because he's developing ray guns.
So, here, I'll just lay it out for you. Breitbart had a fucking heart attack. Yeah. It's fairly clear.
Yeah.
On March 1st of 2012, LA investigator Mario Sands, by phone, he interviewed Breitbart's wife. And she related that approximately 1 year earlier, Andrew Breitbart was admitted to Ronald Reagan Hospital, where he had come into the ER, and he complained that he had shortness of breath, and he was diagnosed with congestive heart failure. He was held for a few days and then went home. 2 weeks prior to his death, he had a terrible flu, and he complained to his wife that he was under a lot of stress. So all of that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
All that sort of fits the pattern. Also, I
smell toast.
George, what do you think about the idea of a heart that weighs 729 grams? How does that reach you?
Wasn't that a Will Smith movie?
No, that was a few less grams. About 700 grams.
What was that, 9 grams?
It was 21 grams.
Wait, wait, wait.
heart weighs 250 to 350 grams.
That's a big heart.
Andrew Breitbart's heart when he dies weighs...
He's the Grinch! He is the Grinch! He's the Grinch!
His heart proved it. 100% that. Also, they found that he had 60% narrowing of a major coronary vessel and heart failure cells in his lungs.
You can have heart failure cells? Like, cells that are just like... Nah,
let me be clear.
Fuck this heart.
Let me be clear. I'm not a doctor.
Neither is Dr. Griffin.
I read the autopsy and it said heart failure cells in quotes. And I'm like, I don't know how to research that.
Quotes?
I don't know how to research
that.
But it's in the document.
Heart failures.
I also thought that the autopsy was a little petty.
How can an autopsy be petty?
Because I have two quotes from it that I found to be a little bit. All right. The first was,
he has a dick.
He was a large and overweight male. Judgmental.
All right. Don't fetch him.
The other one was, the testes are in the scrotum and are unremarkable. Shit on my nuts when I'm dead.
Heart failure cells, average size balls. What are you gonna say?
All I ask is the doctor when I die, please just say no.
Great balls.
My balls
great
are
balls.
They're
worth the best.
I was texting with a doctor friend about that, and I thought that was true. He's like, well, it's worse if they all report. I'm like, fuck you.
No, I get that. No, it's not.
So anyway, also it goes through, like, there's a full toxicology report, there's no signs of arsenic, there's nothing. They did a full screen of his hair, his blood, everything. It was just
hair? Unremarkable.
Hair? Gray and weird. And that's me talking.
Alright.
Also, his father-in-law, the comic actor and conservative activist Orson Bean. I didn't know that. That's weird.
Mr. Bean.
No, not well. Technically, yes.
It's actually Orson Welles playing Mr. Bean. It's perfect.
The two of them narrowed it together.
With their cold, sad eyes.
He reported after he died that his son-in-law had a history of heart problems. And also,
right, so Breitbart died of a heart attack.
Also, I looked into his autobiography. He wrote a book called Righteous Indignation.
I bet it's great.
And here's a nice quote from it. I thought I could drink when I came to Tulane. I had some hard and fast rules to prevent becoming an alcoholic, such as don't drink during sunlight hours.
What?
By the end of my time at Tulane, I was going to bed so early in the morning and waking up so early in the afternoon that this rule was almost impossible to break. To finish the quote, thank God I wasn't developing a drinking problem.
And my balls are not remarkable. Yes. It's a weird thing to put in his own autobiography.
In his autobiography, he also mentions growing into his fraternity brothers, Hollywood made an image of him as he got older.
Yeah.
The image was of a hard-living, cocaine-fueled man of 1,000 lovers. Also, on the day of his death, March 1st, 2012, Anthony Cumia got on his radio show and said, I went out drinking with him, and oh boy, he can party. He likes to stay awake. That's all I'll say.
Andrew Breitbart died of a heart attack and a shit ton of cocaine.
He tested negative for cocaine when he died, but he metabolizes very fast.
Yeah.
Other friends insist that it's possible that he was taking a ton of Adderall, and that is possible. It can precipitate heart attacks in the same way when you have an underlying condition. That's entirely possible.
Yeah.
One of Breitbart's friends had this to say, right, because he had hung out with him towards the end of his life. He said, the last few times we hung out, he was running a million miles an hour. His whole disposition had really changed. He was charged up and angry and relentless. He was missing his shoelaces, and his hair was a mess.
Where did his shoelaces go?
Someone wanted to trade me my shoelaces for coke.
Where did his shoelaces go?
He spent the night lecturing me and going off on these endless tangents. It was like he'd become another person.
Yeah, he was like, where did my shoelaces shoelaces go?
I didn't. Look, my friend that I knew was never concerned about shoelaces. This guy was a totally different guy. So all this is to say that Andrew Breitbart was a boozer. Liked to partake in cocaine. And had a heart attack that was really bad a year before he died. Had 60% narrowing of one of the main arteries to his heart.
Right.
And his heart was twice the size it should have been when it died.
And all of these facts lead you to conclude it's arsenic.
It's gotta be something fishy.
Right.
Let's get to clip two.
Breitbart was going after them, and he is, of course, dead now.
Yep.
And the media is saying, well,
also good.
The LA Times, it's natural causes, when I tell you that. He had a few heart issues, and he was walking along and fell down, went to the hospital, and died. And we want to tell you just a few hours into it, you know, no autopsy, no nothing, he died of natural causes. Yeah.
So, that's fun.
Why is there such a huge butt coming?
Well, they did the autopsy the day he came into the hospital and died.
No, they're going to want the autopsy hasn't happened. They're going to want to tell you this. Pause.
I mean, this is one of those things where, like, people like Alex Jones know you've got to make hay while the sun shines.
Right.
He knows the autopsy is going to come out eventually. And then when it does come out, all his hair is busted.
Right.
So he's got to play them hard as fast as he can. Mm. And so in that clip there, he's saying that the media... They rushed out, and they say it was natural causes. What do you think about that? You think about
it's
that?
Probably natural causes.
I'd like to tell you what the L.A. Chief Coroner Investigator Craig Harvey said.
Unremarkable balls. It's a weird opening line to a press conference.
It's so weird that so many people said that. It's crazy. Reach for comment. Everyone just said, balls, fine.
All right.
So he explained that the determination of natural causes is, quote, merely a non-forensic evaluation of a person's death, meaning that the body has nothing externally visible that would lead them to believe that the death was caused by blunt force trauma, a stab wound, or so on. That's what preliminary natural causes.
Died of natural causes means there's no holes in his body.
Now, I'm obsessive. So I decided to find the LA Times article that Alex Jones was talking about.
Of course.
And it turns out that the LA Times article, I will quote you from it, says, Andrew passed away unexpectedly from natural causes shortly after midnight this morning in Los Angeles, Breitbart.com says.
They're referencing Breitbart.com.
Yeah.
And Alex is like, no, fuck that. I bet it's Jesus.
I searched far and wide, and every single thing that says natural causes links back to Breitbart's announcement.
Okay.
Breitbart.com is the beginning of the natural causes.
Controlled opposition.
Now, granted, this is one of the times, the few times, that Breitbart's got the story right. But unfortunately, Alex Jones is blaming the LA Times for this. And, I don't know. How do you feel right now?
Man, it's tough that we can't smoke in here.
Yeah, I know. that's sort of one of our go-tos.
Okay, so if Breitbart.com says that you died of natural causes.
Which they did.
Which, and then Alex is referencing the LA Times story that says Breitbart.com said that he died of natural causes.
Uh-huh.
What possible thing could Alex have to say?
Breitbart has been infiltrated.
All right. Now you're teasing that Breitbart is infiltrated. Okay.
Jordan, would you like to go to the next
clip? Infiltrated by who?
Would you like to go to the next clip, or would you like to hear a commercial?
I want to hear a commercial.
All right, let's go to the first commercial.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Look, your home will be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Big TV. Big TV is a small electronic...
What? Fake TV?
Fake TV!
Fake TV! What about this real TV?
Who knows? Too much energy going into it. Plug another thing in!
Do you know where you can hide your guns? Fake TVs.
Oh, in the fall.
Fake TVs? Yeah.
Also, spoiler alert, I think my neighbor has a fake TV. I did not know that was a real thing until I was listening to this episode, like,
it's like mattress. mattresses. Once you know you're looking for a mattress, you see them fucking everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm always looking for fake TVs now.
So in this next clip, Alex Jones is trying to talk about how everything is fake in the world. He's talking about, I believe he's talking specifically about the 7/7 bombers in London. But then something really fun happens. And let's just enjoy it. So clip 3.
Air marshals, they can give you a real bomb. Especially if you're a Muslim. Don't ever do that. You're not only got Muslim air marshals on. Put you on the plane, blow it up.
Yeah.
And then just take you off the roster that you ever get on the plane, and they'll just have some cutout with a fake Muslim man putting out on the news. I mean, that's how they do it. We know the 7/7 guys. Man, I had some Cracker Jacks out there going to break. I'm definitely going to We've got all that happening. All of them totally insane.
Yep.
We got all these headlines.
We got all these headlines.
He gets so distracted by the Cracker Jack in his throat. It's so funny, the video too is in the grabs a bottle of water.
We got all these headlines going on.
Honestly, that's my favorite Alex Jones. I thought it was esoteric Alex Jones. No, it's Cracker Jack and the Throat Alex Jones. It's a very specific Alex Jones, but I love it. I love it.
It's the first time we've heard of him, I believe.
Yeah. So, in this next clip...
Are you about to explain the research that you've done on Cracker Jacks
and the Throat? Now, ladies and gentlemen, 17,325 people are killed every year by Cracker Jacks.
Holy shit. Is that true?
That's the problem with how much research
you do is that at this point, everybody here is like, yeah, he probably did a lot of work to figure that out.
I would say that I'm not in the business of doing unnecessary PSAs about Cracker Jacks. Although, seriously, chew. So in this next clip, Alex does one of the things that he does the best. And that is try and turn the story into something kind of about himself. So let's hear clip number 4.
Okay, I haven't even scratched the surface. But I'm going to get into the Andrew Breitbart situation on the other side. And it's funny. I never thought to get him on the show. And we were lining him up for the show about 3 weeks ago. And it was going to happen. And he's dead. So that link up, I guess, won't happen. I guess I need to try
I guess it won't happen.
Unless you can get a separate line to hell, that's not going to happen.
I guess it won't happen.
First of all, no fucking way. Breitbart's Acorn videos with James O'Keefe, all that nonsense, came out in like 2009. It's been 3 years since then. He's had every opportunity to Breitbart. And Breitbart would go anywhere.
They couldn't get the scheduling right. I just love the, I guess. I guess we're not going to do it now.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have David Bowie on here, so...
David Jones!
David Jones, that's right.
I heard David Bowie died, David Jones.
I hope my dad never does. I hope my dad never does.
Some nonsense riff. A couple people don't understand. So, in this next clip, Alex Jones gives his best evidence that he has... that Andrew Breitbart
was murdered.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it's in.
What's it? Okay. Now I want to hear. I'll hear this.
So clip number 5.
Let's go.
In the LA Times, it's got the latest info, and it says, "Well, it's natural causes, but the case is ongoing, and they don't know why he died. But maybe it was his heart. Well, that isn't case closed. Dead of natural causes. They don't know yet. I know the law. The medical examiner. The coroner.
I know the law."
Has to at least come and sign off on that, and they've not signed off yet. So that's suspicious right there. That out of the gates, Pulitzer Prize winner, coming out with a new book, exposing government drug dealing, Gary Webb shoots himself twice in the head, and within hours of it coming out, it's open and shut, the police say he committed suicide. Open and shut with the D.C. madam, who said she was being followed and being threatened. I call and talk to the condo manager where she lived for over a decade. And said, that's not her handwriting on the news. And it wasn't. It wasn't even close. I mean, wild. If I'm found hanging in a shed, folks, and the handwriting doesn't even look like me.
It's a heart attack.
Doesn't even look like my handwriting, for heaven's sakes. I want multiple autopsies. I there's not a big history of heart stuff in my family. Cancer. Very long. Very long lived. The women are generally lived to 103, 105.
Yeah.
Men in their 90s.
Yep.
Get it straight.
Of course.
Get it straight. Nothing's happening to me, okay?
Okay.
The car often runs me over. I want an investigation.
Okay.
I want the coroner to pronounce me dead, take me apart, sew me back together. I want another coroner to set up a doctor. I want him to do it again. I want multiple autopsies.
I just want a fucking parade of autopsies. I want people to do so many autopsies that by the end of it, it means nothing.
I want to have an open casket funeral, but everybody walking by does an autopsy on me as they go around.
So this clip is the first time that Alex Jones is really indicating that I think he's sad that he didn't get killed. I really think that, like, because... Yeah. I mean, Breitbart died of a heart attack because he was a hard boozer.
Yeah.
Took cocaine and, you know,
because he did all the stuff. He did all the stuff to
right.
die of a heart attack.
But in Alex's mind, he was killed for being too right. And Alex is super jealous about that. He is like, I wish someone would fucking try and kill me. And that's going to keep going throughout this episode. But, Jordan, I want to talk to you about Gary Webb and the D.C. Madam. What do you know about these fellas?
I remember the D.C. Madam. She had a book.
All right, let's start with her.
The book was a big deal.
She did? No, she didn't have a book.
I thought she had a book.
She had a bunch
of... Was that House of Cards?
I didn't know a book.
What? I don't know.
Wait, you're blurring fiction and reality.
I've been listening to too much Alex Jones with you.
So this is about Deborah Jean Palfrey. You're aware of this lady?
No.
She was a high-powered madam in D.C., and allegedly she had on her phone number list from all the people that she had sent.
That's like a book.
It's kind of like a book.
It's kind of like a book.
She had a bunch of, like, really powerful people in there. And
right.
Powerful people would kill her to shut her up and what have you.
Did they?
No. She hung herself. It was deemed a suicide, and it was pretty close after she was convicted of racketeering, using the mail for illegal purposes, and money laundering.
Using the mail for illegal purposes.
Like the postal service.
Yeah. She sent a lot of letters.
Yeah.
She was a spammer. She was a spammer. That's what she was. She was a junk mail.
No. You missed it.
Oh, okay.
She used the band for the postal service.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Purpose.
All right. I gotcha. Or it could also just be a generalized the mail.
Yeah.
In Alex Jones' world, that's just the mail.
My friend, she committed mail fraud and money laundering. They didn't even get her on the pinback.
Do you mean she
committed it and they didn't even press that charge?
Do you mean she pretended to be a man? Is that
right?
She used the mail. She mail frauded.
So she was facing 5 to 6 years as a sentence. Realistically,
yes.
But the maximum sentence she could have gotten was much higher.
She was only going to do a nickel?
She was arrested previously in 1990 for pimping, pandering, and extortion. And instead of going to prison,
that's a great thing to be arrested. Because that has a ring to it. Like, when you're getting arraigned, they're going to be like, alright, we got pimping, pandering, extortion. Like, that sounds good. I like it.
Yeah.
That's what I want to be brought up on.
Yeah, absolutely. I was trying to figure out a way to make a rap lyric where I rap abortion with extortion.
That's gonna be rough.
As if I was Alex saying, I'm against abortion, this girl got pinned for extortion. It's not
no, that's not gonna go well.
I should not have done that.
No, you should have stuck with pimping.
So instead of going to prison, she fled to Montana and tried to get to Canada. But unfortunately, there's a border there. And she was arrested and ended up spending 18 months in prison.
Okay.
Later, in 2007 or so, she gets caught up in this.
What was the larger sentence? Was it for the pimping, the pandering, or the extortion?
Gotta imagine extortion is the more important.
I don't know. I feel like pandering is a really bad crime.
If that's the case, the entire Chicago comedy scene is about to go down.
Yeah. Hey, everybody.
she gets caught up in another case.
She caught
another case!
Yeah.
And in the middle of it, one of her employees, a lady by the name of Brandy Britton, hung herself.
Okay.
She hung herself in 2007 in the middle of this investigation into their operation.
All right.
In response, Deborah Palfrey, the D.C. Batman, said, quote, "I guess I'm made of something that Brandy Britton wasn't made of," which is a shitty quote.
Ironic, especially considering that later she hangs herself.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
When she made this quote, when she said this, it was before she was convicted. That was April 15th.
It was also before she hung herself.
Yeah. So, there's an article in Time magazine from May 1st, 2008 about her, and it says, quote, "She wasn't going to jail. She told me that very clearly. She told me she would commit suicide," author Dan Moldea told Time, soon after news broke of her body being found in Tarpon Springs, Florida. Palfrey contacted Moldea last year to provide her help writing a book. Quote, "She had done time once before for prostitution," Moldea recalls, "and it damn near killed her. She said there was enormous stress, it made her sick, she couldn't take it, and she was not going to let that happen to her again." The last time he saw Palfrey in person was less than a week before her conviction for prostitution charges on April 15th. "A friend and I met with Jean, and we had sushi near the courtroom," he said. "She was upbeat and hopeful. She felt the prosecution had not made the case, and she was going to walk. She was hopeful to the end. But when the jury came in with her conviction, she reportedly was taken aback. When I heard that, I knew for her it was over. There was no question in my mind that she took her own life." So Alex Jones had her on a couple times during the trial. And he kept asking her, like, badgering her.
Wait, the DC madam went on InfoWars?
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I did not know that.
And he kept badgering her, like, "Are you going to kill yourself?" Like, that shit.
No way.
Yeah. Which he does to people a lot. It's kind of like, what? It's rude, for sure.
Yeah, it is.
"Andy in Kansas, are you going to kill yourself?"
"I love you, don't kill yourself."
What are you? Do it on there. Do it on there. This is great radio.
If you are going to kill yourself, tell me
you're
not afraid of it. Make a big deal out of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He always misrepresents the quote that she said on the show. And so does everyone else. Every conspiracy theorist who talks about this quotes the appearance that she had on Alex Jones' show, and they say, "I will never kill myself." And that's not what she said. He kept asking her, and she kept saying, "I'm not planning on killing myself," which is very different, because that was before she got charged with possibly 55 years in prison.
That's a long time in prison.
And planning.
And like, all for pandering?
No, this is...
Oh, this is a different thing. Okay.
This is straight up prostitution and money laundering. Gene. So Gene straight up hung herself. That stuff is a lot of nonsense.
Yep.
So Alex using that as an example is crazy. And then we got Gary Webb.
Who's Gary Webb?
You know Gary Webb?
I've heard of
him. Anyone know Gary Webb? Personally. Gary Webb was the guy who wrote the book Dark Alliance. He was the guy who came out with stories of...
It sounds like a great fantasy novel.
Oh, sure.
I bet that's amazing.
So it's a book about trolls that work
right.
With the controversy in the Iraq War.
Soft rights.
Dark elves.
Yeah.
Time turns into a fantasy novel.
Yeah.
Don't be a troll.
Love it.
So, he wrote a book about how the CIA was working with the Contras in Nicaragua
right.
to create the crack.
Real-based economy.
The crack and cocaine epidemics that happened in L.A.
Yes, yeah.
And he was found dead with two gunshots to the head, and that it was deemed a suicide.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
How do you kill yourself with two gunshots?
Let me be clear. Before you ask that question, I would like to give you a chance to retract it. Because it's a stupid question.
I feel like you've made me feel very emasculated. Like
that
my balls
happens.
You feel like my balls are very unremarkable right now.
Contrary to popular belief, suicide by multiple gunshot wounds is pretty common.
Alright.
It happens in like 3-5% of the people who shoot themselves.
That's not very common.
No,
but
that's fucking way more
that's
common.
That's more common than you would expect. Yeah. So wait, is it like rigor mortis where you die but you also squeeze the trigger still? Or is it like, fuck, oh god damn it, I'm so, okay, there we go.
It turns out if you don't pierce the cerebrum, then you probably still have motor function for a while and would be able to do something else. Which I would say your first thing to do is do
make
it again.
A sandwich.
Do it again. Right?
Yeah, okay.
Let's try this again.
All right.
And for anybody who's like at all confused about the idea of surviving a headshot, like just think about Abraham Lincoln. He got shot point blank in the head and didn't die until like 9 hours later.
Yeah, but that was when guns were like, you would shoot a gun and it was like you spent an hour trying to load it,
but you only ever shot
like a pretend gun. So you pointed at his head, and he's Abraham Lincoln. His head is 8 feet long. So you're trying to shoot this 8 foot long headed man, and his fucking top hat. You don't even know where his head begins or ends.
Jordan, you have a lot of fun here.
Am I having fun?
History reflects the shot in Lincoln's head as being pretty good. The testes are remarkable.
Too tall. Too tall.
So, Gary Webb did write this book, Dark Alliance, a series of articles in the paper about the CIA running cocaine crack and trying to create this thing where you destroy Los Angeles or whatever.
Of course.
It's
a real Mark Richard shit.
That happened 8 years before he committed suicide.
Okay.
So, the idea of it being retribution is a little cold. You know, the idea of like, wait 8 years and then mysteriously shoot him twice in the head. It seems like literally the worst plan.
Do you mean the perfect murder?
Possibly.
It took a long time to plan, but he nailed it.
Also, his ex-wife Sue Webb discounted theories of his murder on Tuesday.
Of course she did. She's the one who did.
She said that the 49-year-old Webb had been distraught for some time over his inability to get a job at another major newspaper because he hadn't come out with scoops in a while. He was notoriously very difficult to work with.
Right.
The way he was acting, it would be hard for me to believe it was anything but suicide, Bell said, his wife. She said that before he died, Webb wrote and mailed notes to family members and placed his baby shoes in his mother's shed.
Just very sweet.
Oh, I don't have any shoes.
Very selfish.
If I committed suicide, my mom would have no shoes in the shed. I'm not sure she has a shed.
Or shoes.
The shed.
The shortest.
I can report confidently my mom has a shed.
The shortest, saddest story in history is an advertisement that says baby shoes, shed. James Cook killed himself. That's the one, right?
So it gets more damning in terms of the idea that he was murdered. Webb had paid for his own cremation earlier in the year, and then.
you just want to make sure that you're prepared. Hey, get it out of the way. Some people buy life insurance. Some people buy cremains.
Burn me. Reburn me. Also, he had named his wife Belle months ago before he died.
Just ready?
Year months. He had named her the sole beneficiary of his
life. That's just buying an Amazon gift card, paying for your own cremation and things. Like, you just, you just want to make sure that you're prepared whenever you need it. You can give it to anybody.
He sold his house last week because he could no longer afford the mortgage, and he was upset that his motorcycle had been sold.
He spent all that money on that cremation!
Yeah,
I mean, that's just bad planning!
That is a dime holding up a dollar.
So he got a mortgage to pay for his cremation. It's terrible.
He also has apparently laid out his driver's license in front of him before taking his father's .38 caliber pistol, which he kept in his nightstand, to shoot him in the head, himself in the head. Coroner Robert Lyons said his office had been swamped with calls. It's unusual in a suicide case to have two shots, he said. But it's been done in the past, and it's in fact a distinct possibility. And again, let's remember Abraham Lincoln lived for a while.
Yes, let's remember that. On this President's Day, let's remember what?
Also, dude, if you want to get into the scholastic, journalistic career of
Gary Webb,
he's been sued so many times.
For killing Lincoln?
No, for misreporting of stuff. All kinds of stuff. He had to, the Cleveland plain dealer that he worked with at the time, the paper had to settle two lawsuits. One of them after losing a $13.6 million libel award to a sports promoter who Mr. Webb wrote had paid himself money from an auto race that should have gone to charities for the city.
Oh.
He just had stories that weren't really, didn't really get to the bottom of stuff. He just got an idea and kind of ran with it. He got sued a lot. And his editor had this to say. The zeal that helped make Gary a relentless reporter was coupled with an inability to question himself, to entertain the notion that he might have erred. His other editor, his first editor, Scott Burkhold, said this. Gary Webb was a journalist of outsized talent. Few reporters I've known could match his nose for an investigative story. When he was engaged...
admittedly, you made them all up.
Some of them. When he was engaged, he worked hard. He wrote well. But Webb had one huge blindside. He was fundamentally a man of passion, not of fairness. When facts didn't fit his theory, he tended to shove them to the sidelines. And this comes down to, he was right, big picture, about the CIA and the drug running and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But his reporting was so terrible that it invalidates everything he wrote. All the stuff that we've learned about the CIA and the Contras and stuff like
that,
all of that came out after, and it's probably thanks to him existing, but it's not based on the articles he wrote, because they have been thoroughly discredited.
That's interesting.
And for that reason, there's no reason anyone would need to murder him 8 years after he's published all of this stuff. It makes no sense. So Alex Jones' conception of Andrew Breitbart's murder is like, hey, they did it to the DC Mound, they did it to Gary Webb. Clearly both of these are suicides. They're just a little weird.
You know...
And they're being lied about.
Dan, I want to believe
you. Who are you, Fox Mulder?
No, okay, so let's entertain this possibility, all right? Gary Webb.
Are you going to be the cracker jack in my
throat? I'm just saying, okay, Gary Webb.
Right.
Shot 2 times in the head. I assume temple-wise?
Yeah, I would assume
do we know?
Yeah, it was in the head.
All right, okay.
To quote Cactus Jack, bang, bang!
Okay. All right, so he shot 2 times in the head. Obviously, this is murder.
Right.
Now, the DC Madam.
Right.
Was this around the same time? Like, what timeline are we talking about here?
The DC Madam was in, 2007, what was that? Yeah, it was, 2007, so it was about a year before Alex Jones is live right now.
Okay, alright, wait, I thought we were in 2012.
You're right. Okay. 2008 was when Andrew Breitbart did something of importance.
Right, and the DC Madam killed herself.
Right.
Okay.
So we're a couple years after that. Holy shit! Why are you trying to establish a timeline?
I'm just saying that if we're gonna work this out, my first thought is Alex Jones is serial killing all of these people. he's going from one to the next to make his narratives work. Gary Webb, 2 shots to the head. What do we know about Alex Jones?
Love
he
guns.
Always does it twice.
He does repeat himself a lot.
Exactly.
So let's move on. Let's get through some of this. The next clip. Guys, Alex Jones is going to quote someone that I've met in my life. I don't remember if you have or not, but he's a dickhole. Here's clip 6.
I get death threats all the time. You know, Mancow, Eric Mueller sent me. You're next, buddy. Yeah, well, that's not funny, Mancow. And I don't think he's pretty freaked out. He was a great guy. He kept saying, I'm getting on. So we were just calling him and looked like it was going to happen. And now he's dead.
Yep.
I showed
him. Man, he's dead?
Oh,
okay.
I want to get that's not funny man cow tattooed on my arm.
It's not something he's unused to hearing.
That's not funny man cow.
Yeah.
So man cow, Eric Mueller.
Get on Mancow. We could both get on Mancow tomorrow.
I don't know about tomorrow, but you're funny.
He and I can not get on Mancow.
That's true.
I think he would not let me back on.
He's a pile of shit.
Oh boy, is he. Is he still in Chicago?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's got it.
Yeah.
He's
Sexton.
He's not broadcasting out of the same place, I don't think, anymore. Though.
Who cares? He can die.
Let's get into it. Does anyone?
I hope he fucking kills himself. I don't know.
Does anyone
have a DC Madams himself?
Wait, everyone's got a drink. Jordan just wished death on someone. Forgot about the drinking game. I have a bunch of research that I'm going to just entirely ignore because I've been talking way too much.
I like that this situation keeps me from putting the mic down. I just have to leave. I just have to go outside the room.
Jordan, walk it off!
Yeah, alright guys.
Alright, so let's get into this the next clip. Number 7.
That's like Princess Diana. Letters, her diary, and a video that was confiscated by Scotland Yard. This is all in the mainstream news.
Mainstream?
Years ago.
What?
Years after White those rumors it all came out. Told her butler, everybody. Her butler's the one that blew the whistle. Her assistant really is what a butler is. She told him she shot a video with a professional lighting and everything saying, Prince Charles told me, if I marry this guy, I will die in a fake auto accident. Because Charles obviously talked to his hotel people. That's how they like to drug you, put you in a vehicle, smash a truck into it, and then that happens until you're killing away the hospital. Control the car, wait till you're going fast, steer you into a pylon. That's gone on for decades. That's actually declassified.
Declassified!
The kid was too tough. They drove a truck into him, shot him, and this has all been leaked as well.
That's called overkill.
A big bolt to break his neck. Didn't break his neck because he was as strong as a horse, and they poisoned him. Well, that's what they do. They slam a truck into you. This is a I'm digressing.
You are.
I wear my seatbelt. I've got air mats. My car is in cages. I've been killed. Why the ambulance takes an hour to get there? Like Princess Diana, seen fighting my witnesses. They went and killed her in the back of that car. They drove around waiting for 45 minutes until it was a hospital 3 minutes away, and the roads were blocked. All the cameras turned off 5 minutes before the wreck. She did a video, a letter, a diary, and eyewitnesses. The cameraman of Don Publix, her butler did, and he did all the conspiracy theories until everyone had a chance to talk to her that day. Charles told her, I'm going to have you killed in a fake auto accident. Do you understand? You're not marrying that rich Arab guy.
Do you understand?
The royals are extremely into rich.
So are you, Alex.
So extremely into rich. So extremely into rich.
And that's kind of been thrown on its face now.
So if I understand the plan correctly,
right,
they're going to throw a truck into you to kill you.
Right.
But if that doesn't kill you, they're going to put you in the. They're going to kill you in the ambulance along the way,
just in case.
Couldn't you cut out the middleman?
Anyway, there's this thing called Operation Paget that happened that was in the UK. They were like, "Hey, so like conspiracy theories about Princess Diana's death. Let's fucking look into all of them."
I want that gig so bad.
It took, let me see if I have all the stats here yet. They compiled an 832 page report. It took 14 cops, 3 hues to complete, and it cost $7.27 million. And it dispelled all of the rumors that I just said. All of them are bogus. Every single thing he said was bullshit. Every single, and I texted you the other day, and you were very confused why I texted you. Hey, Jordan, I'm getting really into Princess Diana.
Yeah, that was a weird thing to text me. That was a weird thing to text me.
I respect the Princess Diana.
Why? Because I still don't think that clip gives you a respect for
her.
Like,
I watched a bunch of documentaries about her, and I read her words, and like, she was amazing.
She was amazing. I don't disagree with you.
I lived my whole life just thinking she was like, she didn't want to be there. It's tragic.
So you have a pre-Diana and post-Diana life now, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and then I can live much more true to myself in the post-Diana
life. It's insane.
She was held prisoner in that castle.
That's why you're going to be killed in a fucking ambulance on the way to the hospital.
So you're
going to survive that.
Just to give you a little bit of context of what he was talking about, because I did, like, maybe a day's worth of research on just Princess Diana, which might have been a waste of my time, but he's conflated.
There is no more Dan sentence to say than, I did a day's worth of research on Princess Diana.
Don't get twisted. That's the only clip that mentions her. And I did a day of research.
Of course.
Because I kept being like, God damn it, she's fascinating. Why didn't anyone tell me telling you about her, and you're like, everyone told me about her. I just didn't look into it. So what Alex is doing is he's conflating two different things.
Right.
There was a speech coach that she had who was trying to teach her how to give public speeches and what have you, and he videotaped her through the like speech lessons, and she got fucking raw. She, because she was trying to warm up for giving a scripted speech, and she started talking about how like Prince Charles wouldn't fuck me, but once every 3 weeks.
Wow,
it's crazy.
That's raw.
It's crazy. And you can watch it; it's all on.
She was wearing a leather suit at the same time. She was raw.
It is one of the most iconic stand-up specials.
You know what? You go back and view it. Very homophobic. Really weird how homophobic Chris's
lines are different. So,
she stole a lot of those bits from Richard Pryor. That's all.
That's fair. So she talks about how much she hates Camilla and them too.
Right.
Like it's really very vulnerable and really interesting. There's a 2004 documentary called Princess Diana, The Secret Tapes. You can find it. You can watch it. It's really amazing.
Mm.
And Scotland Yard and the king and queen, they were like, no, don't put this out. And most of it is because it's fucking embarrassing as shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's really embarrassing.
Right.
That, like, the whole time I was married to him, I didn't love him. He was fucking this old broad. It was just like, it's nuts. And she talks about how she, like, pushed her stepmom down a staircase when she was young.
That's what?
Yeah.
All right.
Not the queen. The other
stuff. I get that. Well, the queen can be your stepmom and her mother-in-law.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Look, I don't come from a broken home.
You're not like the rest of us, Dan.
Yeah, so what Alex is conflating that with is that after that, her father, Paul Burrell, gave a letter that she allegedly wrote saying, quote, this particular phase in my life is the most dangerous. My husband is planning an accident in my car, brake failure, and serious head injury in order to make a path clear for him to marry Diggy Ligbork, which I fucking love.
Say that name 300 more times.
It might as well be Cat's Meat Potter Purebred. Diggy Ligbork.
Wait, say it one more 1,000 times.
Diggy Ligbork. Camilla is nothing but a decoy, so we're all being used by the man in every sense of the word. And this is a letter that she had allegedly given to her butler, that he didn't see fit to bring out to public until after she died.
Right.
Tiggy Ligbork was her children's best. He never stops being fun. So she was the nurse of the babies.
Yeah.
She took care of the
babies. She was the wet nurse.
Yeah. And the
yeah, just the regular. Yeah.
And
the caretaker.
And they never fucked. And now in 2018, he didn't marry Tiggy Ligbork.
Like, did you know how she doing?
Tiggy?
Yeah.
She's right. She's married. So Paul Burrell came out with this letter. However, in court, he was rebuked by Lord Justice Scott Baker because Paul had copied these letters. There's no way to authenticate them at all, since they're admittedly not in Diana's handwriting.
Right.
Also, Paul used the letters and the sensationalism around them to sell a book.
What a guess.
Also, in 2004, he was on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Wait, he's a celebrity because...
He
was around Princess Diana.
And he made himself work.
Okay, alright.
In 2005, he was on Australian Princess, which is a reality show.
I love this dude's career. I'm not gonna lie. Look,
no, wait,
hold on. He's lying about everything, but I am a huge fan of his.
You're gonna love this.
Okay.
In 2006, he was on a show called Stars in Their Eyes, which is a show where celebrities do karaoke as other stars.
And in 2019, will be the star of Ventriloquists, are they?
In Stars in Their Eyes, he played Richard Gere in Chicago singing with Razzle Dazzle. He is also appeared on three other reality shows.
Okay.
Also, the reality of Princess Diana's death is incredibly tragic. If you read Operation Paget, you can find all the truth on it. Henri Paul was the driver of the car. He was drunk. He had a 0.17 blood alcohol content, and he was driving twice the legal limit. All the ideas about Princess Diana being pregnant are completely rebuked. They found blood in the car, and they tested it for pregnancy hormones. And you would absolutely be able to tell if she was pregnant. She's not.
Yeah.
And this guy, this Paul Burrell guy, who's also an asshole, and probably not to be trusted. But even he said that, like, she's not going to marry Dodi Alfier. She's going to marry someone else.
Right.
There was another guy.
Explain to me why the driver had a 1.7 blood alcohol limit.
Because he was drinking cocktails at the bar.
Wait, why would they let him drive?
I don't know.
Queen. There's a queen. There's a queen. I saw the Netflix show The Crown.
Hey, dumb-dumb.
It's the queen.
Hey, dumb-dumb. It's France.
It's France.
They let you drive drunk there. All right. Anyway, let's get to this next clip. Princess Di was not murdered. In this next clip, we get back to the theme that we were discussing earlier, that is Alex Jones is pissed that he's not the one who died. Clip 8.
Oh, it's time to grow up in America. And I know what I'm facing. I know what I'm facing. They don't come to me offering national TV shows anymore. I don't get offers anymore. They know I'm real.
Yeah.
They know I've built my own system thanks to your support. Don't cry for me if they kill me. Realize they killed me because it was a life force leading, and I did it with pride for human dignity.
Please kill me.
Please kill me.
And dedication.
Because every day is a nightmare.
Somebody's got to say no to these people. They're their own worst enemies. They're going to destroy us. If someone doesn't start saying no to them, they're out of control. They have hubris. They have the same disease Napoleon and Caesar had.
Yeah.
They're crazy.
Crows?
Yeah. Was it crows? If they do kill me, who will take my place? That's what you got to understand about Andrew Miller. And for heaven's sakes, don't let them blow my brains out and kill some hooker or something. Or I die of a heart attack at 39 or whatever. It's bull, okay?
Fair.
It's bull.
Fair enough, Alex.
And Ron Paul got it all 75.
If Ron Paul dies, Princess Diana killed him.
Yeah. So I mean, if that is just, I mean, yeah. That's just good fuck.
I forgot
that clip went that long.
If Alex dies, David Knight killed him. You didn't fucking. I'll write that down on my.
Well, I mean, he even said it in there. If I die, who takes my place?
Yeah, it's definitely not David Knight.
There's one heir apparent, and he's boring as shit.
Princess Di was. She was alright.
Jordan.
She was probably killed by. Ron Paul. Probably killed by.
Classic David Knight falling asleep with his eyes open. I think at this point it's only appropriate that we go to a commercial break. Let's hear the next break.
In a coming apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA. Shipyards, tow line, or boating.
Alex is straight up just selling rope. Let's get to the next clip. This whole thing. thing is supposed to be about Andrew Breitbart and how he is now dead. So let's get to the next clip, number 9.
The Breitbart Empire released the video he said he released of Obama. If we don't see all this exposed, if we don't see all this brought out, if we see them start backing off, we know that people are being infiltrated. You got to know there's an infiltration of a group.
Yeah,
you've got to know they're under surveillance. You've got to know people have been threatened or paid off. We better see that video released right now. For all of your own safety, you idiots, if anybody inside his organization is a mole, you're going to be killed later. Not that you're going to be infiltrated and paid off by the White House and by the CIA and by these foreign banking espionage groups, and that you're not going to be dealt with later. If you know anything about this, your only hope is to go public right now with a YouTube video right
on YouTube,
or you're dead. They'll kill you after the election. If we start seeing more people over there die, the only answer to this is to fire up and go head up against them. So we know the telltale signs. Oh, we might have some heart problems, we're not sure, but we know it's nothing fishy. According to law says, the coroner, medical examiner, by law.
Keep in mind, Alex Jones is recording the show on the day while they're doing
law,
the autopsy. Because that's how...
The coroner said by law.
That's how we're...
What was his point with the law?
Law.
What went out
the movie? I don't know.
It was not a good movie.
Oscar nominated, no. Friend.
I don't know anything about movies.
All right.
Do you know anything about movies?
I've heard a lot about movies.
You can't do a podcast.
All right.
The video that he's referencing is that at CPAC in 2012, Andrew Breitbart got up there with fucking cocaine hair going crazy.
Okay.
And I wanted to talk with my hair, but his hair
is in regular sized balls.
Going nuts, yeah. Unremarkable testes. I'm going to do my impression of Andrew Breitbart coming out for CPAC 2012.
All right, here we go. Here we go.
Well, hold on, I'm going to go back here. So he comes
Let's give it up for Andrew Breitbart!
He comes out to Gorilla Radio.
Yeah!
So he comes out, he's like, whoa! Nope, close. And he comes up to the mic, he gets behind the podium, and he's like, I was looking for the Occupy people with their glitter bombs. And it's like, it falls flat. It doesn't even work in the room. And so he just talks about how, like, he's gonna, like, really go after Obama for the, we're gonna vet him this time. And he says that he has videos of Obama when he was in college supporting radical professors.
Of course.
And it turns out, after he died, one video did come out that was Obama. When, in 1991, he was...
It was one of the guys from the Weather Underground, right?
Nope.
Oh.
Nope.
Different guy.
All right. That's what
F1 was. Obama's been linked to so many radical professors.
Well, there is Bernadine Dorn and right. Bill Ayers that they keep trying to connect him to in college.
Tiki Weatherbottom, of course.
Tiki! Tiki! The dearest, sweetest socialist of all time. Tiki Leghorn. I lost the place there. So in 1991, Obama was at Harvard. He was the president of the Harvard Law Review.
Yeah.
And the video that came out after Andrew Breitbart had died was him introducing this professor named Derrick Bell to give a speech at a student protest. And the students were protesting the fact that Harvard would not offer tenure to female professors of color.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm on board.
Yeah, absolutely. And so,
I assume Alex is not.
So this is the only video that's come out of all of this stuff. Everybody expected it would be some sort of thing. It was like, hit Obama and Bill Ayers are going to be sitting around talking about Bob and Bill.
Yeah,
and
of course.
All it is this video of him introducing a... very reasonable professor, I will say. I've looked into Derrick Bell a bit, and it's a lot of nonsense that people are calling him super radical.
Yeah.
Oh, also the footage that...
Women should be people! Fuck off!
Also, an important thing to point out is that the footage that Breitbart ended up releasing of this introduction for a speech, it was owned by PBS. And it had been previously aired in an episode of Frontline during the 2008 election.
Sure.
scoop.
It's owned by PBS.
Yeah.
All
people.
Yep. Normal things.
Yep, absolutely. So all that's a hot load of bullshit. And then Andrew Breitbart put out a post. Or he didn't, because he was dead. But Breitbart put out a post.
I guess they'll never get him to release that post.
His last post was put out after he died. Uh-huh. And it was called The Vetting, Volume 1, Obama's Love Song for Saul Alinsky. And all it was...
We'll never get Volume 2.
Well, certainly not. Mm-hmm. But all it was an article about how Obama in Chicago in the late 90s went to a play called The Love Song of Saul Alinsky. Like, oh no. Oh shit, you're busted. Yeah, it's weak.
That wasn't a good play.
Jordan,
I'll tell you that right now.
We're about to take a left turn.
All right.
It's time for player 10, when a weird guest shows up.
Okay.
Guess what? On this day that Andrew Breitbart died, Alex Jones' guest was Ed Asner. Explains the importance of unions. He's to Alex Jones, and you can't cut him off because he's too big of a celebrity.
So when I finally quit there and went back to Chicago and tried to be more of an actor, and I still had to get jobs, and I said I'd never work on an auto plant again. And finally, seeing my friends working for $1.90 an hour, which was impossible, I went and got a job at the Ford plant there. And that Ford plant paid $1.90 an hour, and that was big time. So I said, okay. And I worked as a fiddle finisher there, but I worked there for about 9 months. And I want to say that the difference between that closed shop plant, that union shop, as opposed to the open shop that I worked in, was the difference between night and day, and that's where I became the union man.
Yeah!
And I was treated like a respectable worker, which I was never treated at the Buick plant. So I've been giving union man, I've been so ever since. The difference between working union and doing an honest day's work and working non-union, and I will point out the fact to you that every time a non-union man works, the wages he's getting are there because a union shop established a level.
Fuck yeah, Ed Asner! Hell yeah!
If there was no union, he'd be working at slave wages himself.
Goddamn right!
Creation of a higher wage scale.
Let me make this point. Look at China, which they call communist. It's not communist. It's a top-down elitist insider group.
A couple of things.
Yeah, first of all. No. Alex has a great rebuttal.
Shit rebuttal. Shit rebuttal.
Perfect.
You keep calling them the Chi-Coms.
The Chi-Coms.
You can't
Look, the Chi-Coms didn't invent Pixar, did they?
You can't.
No, you're goddamn right. They
look, they're not
Toy Story? No, that's not... I don't want to do a racist Chinese thing now.
It's a hot load of nonsense, but fucking let's give a round of applause for Ed Asner.
Yeah! Give it all away!
May or may not be dead at this point, I don't know.
And he could be dead.
If he is, we miss him.
But, call Larry Nichols.
That, sincerely, is the most coherent, reasonable thing I've ever heard on InfoWars. And I was so surprised that Alex didn't scream over it.
Yeah, I know.
Because he's such a huge Hollywood star that he couldn't.
He's a big fan of cars. You got Alex is a huge fan of cars. Also, cars 2? Not as good.
Also took Mary Tyler Moore the wrong way, like the wrong character. Is he the boss?
What?
The boss of Mary Tyler Moore?
Ed Asner?
Yeah.
Was he the boss of Mary Tyler Moore?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, I believe the random people who said yes. So,
Right. So in this next clip, we get to find out we get to find out something about Alex Jones and how much of a square he is. Let's go to clip 12.
What's your gut tell you? Because now they're saying maybe heart, maybe something else. I mean, what's your gut tell you about Andrew?
I mean, he was pretty wild here back in Palisades.
Well, I was
not.
From multiple
There's a couple of reasons why he wasn't. One, he didn't go to college.
That's a good one.
Dropped out of junior.
Good point. That's a good point. Can't argue that.
But I fucking love that that's the same moment as, like, they were trying to court me into big Hollywood movies.
Yeah.
Maybe they weren't. Maybe
they
weren't.
When do you sleep with 1,000 women
then? What's up? When do you sleep
with 1,000 women? Not 1,000. He's already got passers. College years?
No, 150 by 16, my
dude. Yeah, he's starting early.
Yeah, he's getting a dick wet in junior high.
Unremarkable.
Well, we have to get to that.
That would be very good.
It will haunt me that my friend told me that your balls should be unremarkable. It's going to be a problem till the day I die.
Yeah, I agree.
So, Jordan, at this point, the episode on March 1st ends.
Yes.
And we go on to March 2nd.
Yeah.
And the reason that I've combined these two episodes together is that Alex Jones makes his narrative quite a bit more robust as time goes on.
Because Andrew Breitbart dies again.
He still was dead. Spoiler alert. He didn't die twice.
No. He continued to be dead.
It turned out it was not fake news that he had died.
Okay.
He straight up had a heart twice as big as it should have been.
I think it was three times as big as you should.
Oh, twice.
I think we're talking about that Will Smith movie again. Anyways.
8 pounds, great movie, check it out. Will Smith cuts himself up and sits in a tub of ice.
Shit ton of greens.
Never saw it. I like to pretend I've seen every Will Smith movie.
Why? Why is that a thing you like to pretend?
Number one, Men in Black 2.
Okay, that's wrong.
Number two, Men in Black.
That's also wrong.
Number three?
Wild Wild West.
Of course.
Yes. Yeah. I know you.
So, Jordan,
wasn't it 7 pounds?
Maybe, I don't know.
How many grams was it? Yeah. How many grams
that's
was
a
it?
Different movie!
It's not the point!
That's a Naomi Watts movie.
Yeah, but Will Smith should have been in it.
I agree. I agree.
Yeah, yep.
It was called 21 grams, goddammit. It's the weight of your soul, right?
Alright, I don't want to get into this Naomi Watts tangent.
So, this next clip is where we come in on March 12th. Or, I'm sorry, March 2nd of 2012. And this is clip 13.
And I will tell you now, referring to the huge news on the Breitbart front, that the consensus from multiple national talk show hosts I've talked to, and from others in media that are very close to late Breitbart, I will leave it at that.
We're up to like 6 people.
Oh, yeah.
About as close as you can get. I'll just leave it at that. The consensus is he was murdered. The consensus is, when anybody who hasn't discussed things, forget the maneuvers, go straight at them. Everybody's just going to intensify, and nobody's backing off.
What maneuvers?
And the system thinks killing him is going to make everybody run. They got another thing coming.
They got another thing coming!
And they must not kill him. If you start seeing people like Matt Drudge die.
Still alive.
People like Michael Sanders.
You don't know that. You don't know that.
Michelle died.
Still alive.
You don't know that.
And others, you know there's a purge going on. Do whatever you think you need to do at that point.
Do whatever you need to do. Murder.
I happen to know that Michael Savage has a whole bunch of bodyguards. I knew this a long time ago. I confirmed from other sources.
Why would you need other sources? You talked to him.
Bodyguards, and he basically has them.
Yeah.
And I don't care, but Watson was playing the audio this morning. He reads our articles in full on air and never even says where they come from. And then complains that Rush Limbaugh and others rip them off, which they do. But I only listen to Savage on the time. He is an interesting talk show host, very intelligent. I think he's the best of the big mainstream hosts out there.
I'm not sure
a lot of what he says or does, but he is a very intelligent person. And he just reads our articles every day on air and never gives us credit, which is fine because all I care about is getting the info out.
Sure.
What's your name?
Yep, sure. No, that sounds true.
But then Connor calls in and calls me, you know, a globalist agent, and Savage doesn't disagree with him. I mean, that's really uncool to read our articles
out. Not cool. So uncool!
Not right. The point is, Savage, this is, no one has reported this. Broadcast from 6 different locations. And is hiding and wearing disguises.
Savage is wearing disguises.
On the radio.
What
on the radio.
What kind of radio disguises is he wearing?
How I go with false voice and glasses?
Is he wearing the whole, okay.
Like I said, it sucks. I just think it's really funny.
Have you ever been racist?
No.
Alex Jones doesn't like Michael Sanders that much. That's crazy.
That Michael Sanders is a piece of shit. I'm fine with it.
I agree. I think that's so funny. I love it. I mean, first of all, I talk to people in media and other people.
I have confirmed it from some sources.
Multiple
sources. But have you heard of these other sources I've confirmed it from?
Right, right. But now it's time to go to the next commercial.
All right.
Over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good sized meal, that I was still starving. My research led me to the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity.
The name of the place is Youngevity. All right.
So this is before
okay.
Alex
now,
met Dr.
Let me tell you about the top four albums from Youngevity.
Yeah.
Some highlights.
So Youngevity, you fucking mixes. You know Future is working with Youngevity.
Youngevity's hot product is, it's called Beyond Tangy Tangerine.
Don't say those words.
And it's Alex's proto-attempt before he ever gets into the super male vitality, all that stuff. This is just tipping his toe into the water. He's not that Dr.
Youngevity!
Yeah, it's called Youngevity. It's pretty cool. It's maybe a drink.
Alex does Youngevity.
He claims he lost 40 pounds.
His next thought is like, give me somebody who names shit better than this.
Right, right.
Get me Dr. Groot. Yeah.
I mean, his name is Dr. Groot.
Yeah. No, how could you
not like Groot? It's people getting together right. For a similar purpose.
I thought super male vitality was bad, but Youngevity?
Do you want to know about Youngevity?
I do want to know about Youngevity.
Youngevity is a product that's put out, or it's a company that's run by this guy named Dr. Joel Wallach.
A lot of doctors who probably don't have doctorates.
Well, he's a veterinarian.
Good enough.
Alex is...
Just like David Bowie is a dentist? Wait,
sure.
No, David Jones. All right.
David Jones. Alex is like weirdos who give him pills. I'm a veterinarian. This veterinarian has got me as far as I can get. I've got to switch it up to chiropractor.
Is that a lateral move or a...
No.
What are we talking about?
In terms of his profits, so... Huge.
Would you? Well, yeah, but I mean, okay. If you're gonna take meds,
right?
Would you prefer a veterinarian or a chiropractor? Is that a
lateral
move? A lateral move, right?
Veterinarian
and
yeah,
okay. Yeah. All right.
That's actually science.
Hold on, before you jump into Youngevity, is actually science.
I should tell you that I watched about 2 hours of Joel Wallach talk, and I have some questions about his science. Also, I don't want dog shit. You know, like, I don't want things for animals. Right? But I'm a veterinarian, giving me my business.
PSA? A lot of the medications, you know, a lot of people do is that they will get a prescription from a veterinarian for their dog, because that medication also works perfectly for people.
Okay. That's weird.
listen!
I'm gonna ignore
I don't have health insurance! This is true!
Let's get to this next one again, March 2nd, because Alex Jones has established that everyone agrees that Breitbart was fucking murdered, and now we gotta figure out who done it.
Right!
And so now we'll do that in
the DC meta.
Put 14 on it.
But the point is, Obama has to be the prime suspect in any to kill citizens. And I know Breitbart, myself, drugs, and others are on that enemy list that came out a year and a half ago.
Yep.
I am on the enemy list. This is not a joke. This is not a game. You understand that?
You think this is a game? You think this is a motherfucking game? Obama is murdering bitches out here! Come on, son!
Do you know about Obama's enemy list?
Is it anything like Arya Stark's enemy list? Like, what are we talking about?
It's not, nor is it anything like Nixon's enemy list.
Okay.
No. I looked into this pretty deeply, and there's one thing that is actually kind of, like, legitimate.
Yeah.
And that is, during his re-election campaign, there's a website called Keep GOP Honest.
Okay.
And what they did is they tracked Mitt Romney's donors and things that they had done in the past.
Yeah.
And a lot of people got like, hey, why are you doing that? They're private citizens who donated.
Yeah.
And that's kind of fucked up. I don't know how I feel about it entirely. That's not what Alex is talking about.
My level of sympathy for people who donated to Romney is very low.
Well, because Alex Jones gave the time frame and said some specifics, I know that what he's talking about is a 2009 article in The Globe.
Alright.
That's a tabloid.
Most trustworthy of sources.
That's a tabloid, my friend. They're February...
Owned by Ailes, wasn't it?
I think so. The February 27th, 2017 cover says, Huma testifies against Hillary! Hillary Weeps, how could you do this to me? Their B story was, Oscar stars scandals, kinky fetishes, brain damage, hooker porn.
How's Tiki doing?
Did Ailes get assassinated?
We met him.
That's a good question. Do we miss him? I feel like we don't.
Yeah. They had an August 6th, 2012
episode
of the Globe. Heartbreak for dying Clinton. He won't live to see Chelsea's baby. He begs Hillary to call off.
Wait, which Clinton?
Who's he?
Yeah.
Bill?
Bill?
Anyway.
Dave?
There's a bunch of nonsense. They're terrible.
George Clinton? He lived to see her baby, didn't he? Does she have a baby?
I found the article.
Probably many.
I found the article that
Prince was based on.
The Obama's enemy list.
Article. Yeah.
I'm going to read it to you.
Okay.
Under relentless assault from a mob of vicious critics, President Barack Obama has drawn up a secret list of enemies he aims to take down. One by one! Exclamation point.
Good.
Incredibly, ultra-religious pop legend Pat Boone, who sang the 1950s hit April Love, is also marked for action, as is country star Toby Keith. Inside
so Pat Boone and Toby Keith are on the Obamas. Okay, alright. Are they up and near the top? Where are we on the list?
Quote, this is war, an insider tells Globe. Obama is going to do whatever he can to discredit these people.
Right.
He wants them
silenced. Wait, he's going to do whatever he can to discredit Toby Keith.
Toby, yeah.
He wants them silenced.
Alright, I just want to be sure that we know that Obama is going to bring the full resources of the government to bear on discrediting Toby Keith.
He is enraged by the constant attacks on his presidency and against him personally. He's just had it. This has become very personal for him. Up until now, Obama has let his foes savage him mercilessly, even though insiders say Michelle has been urging him to fight back, fearing he'd be branded as a wimp. Also, fun point, the Globe cover from October 2007 says, quote, bossy Michelle has made Obama a wimp.
All right. So we're in some full-on Macbeth territory, so what's going on here?
A couple things happening. Yeah. So it's
a complicated circumstance.
It's absolute nonsense. And that's where the idea of Obama's enemies list comes
from.
Yeah,
that sounds right.
It's not real. It's not a real thing. Anyway, I'm going to skip this next clip because it's just about fake communists that Alice is talking to.
Fair.
I believe we need to get the last commercial, if we can.
When you're out on the road, the last place you want to be is on the road.
Wait, what? The last place you want to be is on the road when you're out on the road?
Unparalleled quality.
That's amazing. They did another country song commercial. Also, I looked into it. I didn't know this. Diamond gusset is a stitching term. It's that little patch
for a rain mask.
Yeah. I mean, I thought, like, put a diamond gusset in your crotch. What the fuck are you talking
about? Yeah, that was a weird thing to say. I'm gonna admit.
Even
for me, knowing that they make random size jeans and then just mail them on into the air.
And it's great that comes out. Like, you're gonna love the way they fit.
Yeah, exactly. There's a part of me that, since thinking about it the last time that we talked about them, there's a part of it that's like, you don't even have to order those jeans, they just show up in random sizes.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Like, sometimes you just go on the internet and you're like, where do these jeans come from? And that's it.
Diamond Gusset Jean is a fucking consistent supporter of Alex Jones. And they love getting creative with marketing.
Really?
Okay. Two country songs. Within a year.
It's not very creative. That's very uncreative.
How dare you?
Well, you know what's crazy?
Songs?
They're on Obama's playlist. That's the craziest part of it.
They could have rested on their laurels with the first one. That was amazing.
Toby Keith, Diamond Gusset, those are the only people on the Obama kill list.
Diamond Gusset is not. So.
Whoa.
Fair enough.
Whoa.
I honestly don't think it's true.
Diamond Gusset isn't. Anyways, we can continue.
I do not want Diamond Gusset's good name. They give you random size jeans and the same anti-NAFTA and weird twangy country songs that you don't want to end up falling off your motorcycle.
If we ever do merch, that's going to be with a partnership with Diamond Gusset jeans. And the last time we did
that, I'm trying to get Tinkerbell back to life. I think they're still in business.
If everybody claps their hands, Diamond Gusset will send you a random pair of jeans.
Alright, guys, we have one more piece of the narrative of Andrew Breitbart's death that we need to get through from March 2nd. And it is going to lead to probably one of my favorite things that I've ever discovered for researching this podcast. Very excited that we're all still here and hopefully still in this. Are we all still in this?
Yay! He just got 6 months for pandering.
This pandering.
He used to be a man.
Anyway. So Alex Jones on March 2nd starts an entirely new narrative about Andrew Breitbart's death.
Yes.
Up till that point, all he'd been saying is that at CPAC, he had been saying he was going to release tapes of Obama from when he was in college.
False flag, murdering, etc.
Right, and now we get to clip 16 where he says something entirely new.
For the top stories on the web right now, Breitbart, wait till they see what happens March 1st. Well, yeah, they killed you, and now it'll be 2 weeks, your people say, until it gets released. That's all in InfoWars. com. Bob Chapman's our guest. Let's take a few phone calls.
Also, just for fun, Bob Chapman's on, and he's the guy who said that Reagan got butt fucked.
Are we going to return visit by Bob Chapman?
No, we don't get to hear any of this.
Come on!
I just wanted to. I kept doing the clip just so I remembered to bring that up. Because Bob Chapman's on. He's like, yeah, Breitbart was poisoned. I believe it. He drank wine. They just put poison in the wine. Clip 17, just to reinforce this narrative.
Breitbart has the footage and said he was going to release it. This is hiding in plain view. We just dug it up and posted it, so it's one of the top stories on the web today.
Why do you need to dig it up?
Top story on Drudge Report. Then he said, I'm going to release the film of Obama at communist meetings, where they're discussing re-education, overthrow of the U.S. government, everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to release it March 1st. Herzog said this in three separate interviews and a speech. Not just the speech you've all seen where he said, I'm going to release photos, we're going to vetting, he's not going to get away with it this time. So he was going to swift vote Obama, who's already politically...
Like, swift voting was bullshit.
And done by his friend Jordan. So, Jordan, what do you think about this idea that Andrew Breitbart said before he died?
Yeah.
That
it was going to be on March 1st.
He was going
so
to die.
So then he died on March 1st.
Yeah,
that of course.
Clearly Obama did some weird ray gun shit. And
explain to me why, if he was going to.
Was that the ray gun thing?
Yeah.
No, March 1st. That he actually saved his gonna die.
Breitbart?
Yeah.
We'll get to it.
No. I'm extremely skeptical of this.
I'm asking if Jordan believes. Do you believe?
Alright. Do we have a specific March 1st?
Oh, you mean like it might be next year?
Did Breitbart say March 1st? Did he give a year? Furthermore, if he was going to release all of this information on March 1st, and yet at the same time he's murdered on March 1st, couldn't he have just done it at like 6 a.m.?
I'm about to drop.
Like, did it need to? Like, there could have been a dead drop, like, there could have been. Like, he already had to have emailed it, and it's on Breitbart. They don't just go to print, like.
You're making a lot of great.
No, he's not how it fucking works. Why would you kill him on the day? Go 2 weeks back. Obama is not this fucking stupid. Why would you fucking do it on the day?
And anybody.
On the day!
Anybody who has real information on that, like. But you said the death drop.
You would at least email it to a friend. Or, you know what, if I want to copyright something, I fucking mail it to myself. Like, you could do so many different fucking things.
Yes, you can. So I looked at this. I looked into this March 1st claim, and I watched the entire CPAC speech that you were at Parquet. And actually, I watched his CPAC speech from 2010, just for fun.
Because, yeah, why not?
Clearly also on your head. He doesn't mention March 1st in either of them. He doesn't mention March 1st in any of the things. He doesn't mention any specific threats. He doesn't even say in the CPAC speech, we're going to drop these videos in any specific
way. Right.
He just says, this election cycle, we're going to vet him more, and whatever. So I was like, where the fuck?
Code for white.
So I was like, where the fuck does this come from, this March 1st thing? And I kept finding it. I kept finding it on conservative blogs.
Yeah.
I kept finding it everywhere. I found it in YouTube videos, and every single time, it linked back to InfoWars. There was an InfoWars.
So they just made it up.
There was an
whole clock.
There was an InfoWars article on March 2nd, written by Paul Joseph Watson.
That's a fucking pile of garbage.
And it's the only source of this March 1st thing.
So BJ Dubs just made the whole thing up?
Well. The article's the only place that keeps coming back.
PJ Dubs killed Princess Diana. Is that what we're coming back to? Did he kill Princess Diana? He killed Princess Diana! I knew it!
Yes, okay.
So,
Tiggy was in on it the whole time!
This headline and quote was linked by Drudge. It was hotlined. It was red. Okay. Drudge pushed it out there. Literally everything goes back to InfoWars. And InfoWars has one source in the article. Just one source.
Okay.
And it's a guy named Larry Sinclair of Sinclair News, who claims that Andrew Breitbart said.
Is that the Sinclair Broadcasting Network now that.
No, wish it was.
No, okay.
That would be a much easier story.
Because then it would have been a progression and they turned it into this right wing thing that's owning local news across the world.
Okay.
No, it's just a random coincidence that all Sinclair. So what you're telling me.
Spoiler alert, it's a crazy dude.
What you're telling me is that everybody named Sinclair is a right wing monster.
Absolutely.
Done.
Although this guy claims he's not. Not right wing, but we'll deal with that.
He's
on No, he was close.
Although then again, Ed Asner is on it.
He was close.
So that asks a lot of questions about the movie Up.
That is. I have a lot of questions about Up too.
Is it right wing propaganda? Nobody asks this question.
Do you know who Larry Sinclair is?
Of course not.
Does anyone know who Larry Sinclair is?
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay, good. Keep it to yourself for a second. So, in 2008, Larry Sinclair wrote a book called Barack Obama, Cocaine, Sex, Lies, and Murder.
Well, I am a huge fan of Larry Sinclair so far. Larry Sinclair is up here.
Yeah. This book was released on Sinclair Publishing. In the book, he claims that in 1999, though he never had met him previously, he requested a friend connect him with someone to show him around Chicago, and his friend hooked him up with then-state Senator Barack Obama. He's introduced by name.
Wait, hold on, in the story, this guy's like, I've never seen Chicago, and his friend is like, well, let's get State Senator Barack Obama to give you a tour.
Who's introducing him by name.
Yes, yeah.
That's very specific.
Yeah.
So the two of them hang out for a little bit, I think they go to a restaurant, and then they go buy some cocaine.
Of course.
At that point, Obama smokes some crack, and Larry blows in a limo.
So Larry Sinclair.
Who made the crack?
Obama.
Obama had crack on here.
Obama
saw cocaine, but okay. Obama already had crack.
All right. So, if I understand the progression of events, progression of events so far. I'm a random dude. I know a friend. I need a tour of Chicago. No tour bus. State Senator Barack Obama is going to come in here. We're going to go out and eat. We're going to have a nice meal. Me and State Senator Barack Obama. We're going to have a good time. State Senator Barack Obama is like, let's get into my car. We're going to smoke crack. So then they smoke crack. And then Larry Sinclair is like, well, you're State Senator Barack Obama, and blows him.
You have it all perfect.
Okay.
Jordan, we got a long way to go for Larry Sinclair. This guy is the worst.
Okay.
So Larry Sinclair made these claims, and he wrote a book. And then a website called WhiteHouse.com, which was a guy who was like, I'm going to try and make a parody site, like, for news. But then he said, no, I'm going to it. So he just started doing a parody porn site.
Right.
And his traffic spiked, of course. And he got a ton of money. And then he's like, all right, Larry Sinclair, I'll give you $10,000 to do a polygraph test, and $100,000 if you pass it.
Okay.
And so Larry Sinclair's like, fuck yeah, I'll do it. And the results, quote, indicated deception. I read the entire report. It's scary. To say that indicated deception is so generous. Yes. He was lying his ass off. So Larry went on to claim that the sponsors, WhiteHouse.com, that they had been bribed by David Axelrod in the Obama campaign to rig the test.
Of course.
He tried to sue them, and it was thrown out of court. So then journalists started doing some digging and found out that Larry Sinclair had the most extensive criminal history imaginable, including crimes committed in multiple states under his 13
age. Wait. He had the most extensive crime history imaginable?
I don't know. Why did
they use that phrase?
Those might have been my words.
He was the guy in Star Wars who's like, I have warrants on 8 systems. Like, he was that guy.
Wait for it. He had 13 aliases.
Okay.
In January 1981, he was arrested in Denver for larceny over $200.
Okay.
In June 1985, he was arrested in Broward County, Florida, under the name Lal Ray Viseray Avila for grand theft and sentenced to 1 year and 1 day in prison.
Okay.
In August 1986, he was sentenced in Dade County, Florida, under the name Lal Ray Viseray Avila Adams. For check forgery and second-degree grand theft,
okay.
He put on a year probation and made to pay $7,400 in restitution to his family.
All right.
In November 1986, he was arrested in...
Are we going to go through all of these?
There's a few. He was arrested in Lakewood, Colorado for credit card fraud and an outstanding warrant for check fraud in Pueblo, Colorado.
All right.
In April 1987, he was arrested for second-degree forgery and sentenced to 16 years in prison.
What's second-degree forgery?
I don't know, kind of light forgery. He was in prison until 1999, which would be right around the time he alleges he blew Obama in that limo. Now, Jordan, while in prison, Colorado state records show that he was disciplined 97 times, at least 16 of which were for assault.
I don't know.
A bunch of them were for drug possession, drug dealing, sexual misconduct, and a whole lot of crap.
See, I'm against prisons and their systems. I don't know who to be on the side of right now.
In 2000...
And he blew Obama, so that's kind of like a thing. Good on him.
In September 2007, after he was released, and before he made these claims, he was arrested in Kershaw City, South Dakota, for public disorderly conduct. Which leads us back to 2008, when he made these claims about Obama.
Yes.
And he decided to rent out the D.C. Press Club to give perhaps the weirdest...
Where did he get the money to rent out the D.C. Press Club?
He claims it's from PayPal donation.
All right, well, then I buy it. That's fine. And he invested in Bitcoin. Fine. Fucking fine.
Perhaps the weirdest press conference I've ever seen in my life.
Okay.
So, in the press conference, someone asks him how big Barack Obama's dick is. And he's like, Barack Obama is...
Unremarkable.
He said, Barack is a wannabe black man with a white guy's...
You know.
It's a press conference in the D.C. Press Club. It's terrible. So, the press conference was hosted by his lawyer, a guy named Montgomery Silby, right?
Okay.
And at one point, Montgomery is asked, hey, dude, why are you wearing a kilt?
That's a good question.
Good question.
That's a very good question. Yeah.
And so he explains, for people with normal to small genitalia, pants may not be uncomfortable. For us on the other end of the spectrum, and then he trails off.
Holy shit. I'm wearing a kilt because my dick is too big.
That's what he says.
Alright. Okay.
At the beginning of the press conference,
is going to become president someday.
Larry specifically says at the beginning of the press conference, thank you, Reverend James David Manning, for showing up. Who, if you don't know, is the guy who said a son of mine dropped off a bucket
of
poop
at night. Yep. It all comes back.
He was there. James David Manning was involved with Larry Sinclair.
We just last Jedi'd you, motherfucker.
So
just happened right there.
Here's the funniest part. After the press conference, Sinclair was arrested by DC police.
Wait, immediately after. So he got his dick joke in, and then he went to jail.
You can watch the press conference on YouTube, and it ends abruptly, and it fills me with so much joy to know as soon as the video cut off, he just got arrested.
Then we could all go out like that.
So he got arrested because two U.S. marshals showed up and presented a warrant from the state of Delaware for Sinclair's arrest. Montgomery Blair Sylvie, who had his law license suspended by the District of Columbia and Florida, and who was previously Sinclair's attorney, reviewed the warrant, and then Sinclair was led away. Sinclair, the speculation is the arrest stemmed from a Delaware warrant, although there's also an outstanding felony warrant for Sinclair in Pueblo County, Colorado.
Of course.
He had two outstanding warrants.
Okay.
Also, he tried to sue the internet commenters.
No, that makes sense. Yeah.
But the reason we're talking about him is that... The reason we're talking about him is because he's the reason that Alex Jones is reporting that Breitbart,
right,
at this conference, this thing called Block Bash,
right,
had said, wait till March 1st.
Right.
That all comes from Larry Sinclair. Okay. That's the only source that we can see. He is an incredible fucking source.
He's right on. He's the Gary Webb of Larson Incubus.
So the DCist, that website that used to exist, wrote a 2009 article about Block Bash. Quote, if there's an ick factor in Blog Bash, and in the right-wing blogosphere, its name is Larry Sinclair. If that name rings at all familiar, it's because he's the guy who posted in 2008 a video on YouTube claiming that in 1999 he had sex with and smoked crack cocaine with an Illinois state senator named Barack Obama.
Barack Obama!
No one's ever really believed him, including, I'm sure, the people in this room who lived to discredit the Obama administration.
Wrong. Wrong!
He wants to talk to everyone, but only the daring want to talk to him. Breitbart gives him a warm hello. Sinclair asks me to snap a photo of the two, and I oblige. It's one of those client and patron kind of moments. Sinclair, the lone wolf crying foul, and Breitbart at least being willing to listen. I'm not really sure he believes Sinclair either. In that entire article, there's no mention of March 1st. It's all bullshit.
Yeah.
It's all bullshit. All
right.
Made up by a guy who claims to have sucked off Barack Obama. It's all bullshit. Everything's a lie.
Everything is a lie!
I
genuinely wish more of our cast of characters would also have blue Obama under their belts. That would be a nicer world for me.
Yeah.
Alright, bring it home, Dan.
Before we wrap this up, we have
bring
one
it
more
home.
Clip. Let's get to clip 18.
You don't end up like Breitbart? And see, for me, that's so alien to be intimidated. In fact, it's the opposite. I feel so alive. I really enjoyed driving to work this morning. I love life so much. I just love being alive and conscious of my children. I love life so much that I am so ready for these matches. I'll probably try to do it where it looks like I died of drugs or something. Who knows what we'll do.
Yeah.
I don't worry about it.
Yep.
Because the fight will go on. And that's probably why they may not kill me.
Yeah.
Of course! That makes sense! They would kill me, but they won't kill me.
In the aftermath,
it's because they wouldn't kill me that they would kill me.
So
but
nice.
They won't. They won't kill me because they would kill me.
It would be hack to kill me.
Oh, it'd be so hack. Yeah.
In the aftermath of Andrew Breitbart dying, Alex Jones goes,
what is the deal with murdering me?
He wants to be important so badly.
So badly.
That he lies about, everything.
Yeah,
but also Breitbart's death in order to create something that he can aspire towards. I believe that the fake version of Andrew Breitbart's death that he presents is what he wishes for himself. and you can see him desperately trying to be like, I want anyone to take a shot at me throughout this entire fucking episode. And it's pathetic. And Larry Sinclair is a fucking liar anyway.
So the entire point of this episode
has been
is that Alex Jones wishes he was Princess Diana. All that we've learned is that that is true.
If we can sum it up, I think that
why won't someone shoot at him?
Yeah.
Well, I do support that. I wish everybody was Princess Diana. Is that a thing? Okay.
Anyway, I think you should come up with someone to say they can fuck themselves.
We're doing a live fucking show.
Oh, yeah. We should take an audience submission. Who should fuck themselves? All of us.
Wow. You guys are here, so everybody else in the world.
John Rappaport is all right.
Yeah, he's great.
John Rappaport.
He tells stories about like dinosaurs and shit. Who's the little midget guy who does that? No, the guy's like, facts don't care about your feelings.
Leonopolis?
No. He's a little short guy with dark hair.
The more you describe him, the less cool I am with everything going on.
Jones, for sure.
Yeah, you know that. Like,
Owen Shore?
No.
How's it Buckley?
Hey, you know what? That's a great one, guys. This has been a wonderful episode.
Thank you guys
so much for coming out. This is our first live episode,
and
you guys
so too long. I apologize.
Way too long.
I apologize.
He thought it was going to be short. Anyways, thank you guys so much for coming out. And Buckley can go fuck himself.
Yeah.